no-hitter.
Every White Sox game.
Give me the hot sauce.
Every Bulls game.
GWG.
Every Blackhawks game. It's all here.
Make sure you guys tune in.
It's only here on NBC Sports Chicago.
Hey, everybody, it's Chuck Garfine. Welcome to the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you as always by our friends at Wintrust. Okay, we're 3 weeks into the baseball season. 3 weeks. Just getting things started. And normally when it's this early, I don't like to overreact to anything. A team's record, a player's stat line, both good and bad. But after spending so much time this offseason focusing on free agent targets and trade targets for the White Sox, I checked out how all these guys we were talking about are doing out of the gate. Guys we wanted the White Sox to get, guys the White Sox ended up getting, and found some surprising and even unexpected developments. Now, again, we're only 3 weeks in. Some of what is happening might turn out and probably will turn out to be nothing. But some might be something. So, here we go. Early results and clearly early overreactions to the White Sox offseason. What they did and what they didn't do. That is coming your way.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
At Wintrust, we know true fans show their team pride every chance they get. With White Sox checking, you'll score a Sox debit card. Plus, you'll get a special offer when you open online today at wintrust.com/SoxTalk. $100 required to open. Member FDIC.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left field!
Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark!
You can put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
All right, Ryan McGuffey, Vinny Duber, this is either going to be a total overreaction podcast, or maybe, just maybe, we might be onto something with where things are trending this early in the season. I normally don't like to do this, but you know, looking at some of these stat lines on some of these players that we talked about for months, some decisions the White Sox made are turning out to be really good ones. Others, you wish he was with the White Sox. So what do you guys think about this trailblazing podcast no one's ever done before, Guff?
Overreaction, probably. Do we like to get caught up into it? Yes. Would I like to hit the pause button and say I told you so five or six months from now? Sure. But just to stir the pot, why not?
Yeah, this is a little bit of a stirring of the pot and a little bit of, oh, really? I wasn't expecting this. So I think it kind of plays to all fields. What do you think, Vinny?
I think it's a, by definition, it's an overreaction. I mean, these guys, some of these guys that we're about to talk about haven't even played 15 games yet, but you know, it's a fun little thing. And like you said, we spent months talking about these guys. So it only makes sense that we follow up on them. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a few here that I was like, I want this guy on my team. And now I look at his stats. I'm like, thank God he's not on the White Sox. So
for now,
what's that?
For now, you're like, thank God he's not on the White Sox.
Well, let's start with starting pitching. I have this in categories of starting pitching, closer, right field, and DH. Corey Kluber. That was my guy. I'm like, you know what? White Sox, bring Corey Kluber here. You know, how bad can he be? He could be the number five starter. Well, the number five starter for the White Sox so far, Carlos Rodon, has an ERA under one, and he's thrown a no-hitter. Corey Kluber with the Yankees. Three starts. He's thrown a total of 10 innings in three starts. Do the math. Four innings, two and a third, and four. His ERA is over six, seven walks, 12 strikeouts. I think, I don't say the White Sox dodged a bullet. I dodged a bullet because I don't think I want him on the White Sox right now.
Plus, you know, Carlos Rodon's, you know, he's one of the White Sox own. And look, I was not necessarily throwing a parade that Carlos Rodon was coming back to the White Sox. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, I told you so on this one, because I saw the writing on the wall to move on. But I'm also human and love good stories. And Carlos Rodon's a great story. And it's clear that he put in the work. This might be one we're not overreacting to, actually. This might be one that might be more of what the norm is. And no, he's not going to throw a no-hitter every time out. But what Carlos Rodon did on Tuesday, to me, is almost more impressive than the no-hitter itself. Because the old Carlos Rodon doesn't – not that he didn't have the guts to get through it, he just couldn't figure it out. For him to pick up his teammates who let him down in the field behind him yesterday to get through five – I think that's more of the Carlos Rodon we're going to see. So in this particular category with that guy, I'm happy to see it.
Yeah. Everything Guff you said about Carlos Rodon certainly rings true. I think, you know, that he has been certainly the brightest spot in the starting rotation so far. And that's not even to diminish what everybody else has done, because the starting rotation has been really, really good for the White Sox so far. But yeah, Corey Kluber, I think at the time it was a flyer, right? And I think everybody was so kind of wowed by his little showcase that he had that, you know, the Yankees went to the front of the line, as they so often do, and that's who he jumped on with. You know, I think a lot of teams probably might have dodged a bullet there. You know, he's obviously not the same guy, at least through three starts, as he was back in Cleveland when he was winning Cy Youngs.
Are showcases like NFL pro days? Because that's kind of how, like, who's ever had a bad showcase or a bad pro day? Like, they go to these NFL pro days and they're like, man, I'll tell you what, you know, this quarterback looked really good. Trevor Lawrence looks better on the pro. Like, it's designed for success. These pro days are made by agents to bring in teams and say, look, my guy can throw in the mid 90s. And look, he's throwing off 60 feet, 6 inches. I'm with you, Vinny. Like, the showcase thing. Sometimes we get so wrapped up. Hey, the White Sox were there. They were at the showcase. Who cares? How'd the Yoenis Cespedes showcase go? No one signed him yet.
Frank Thomas wants the White Sox to sign him. He's talked about that on the show.
Here's Maybe he's going to end up on the same Mexican League team that Yasiel Puig just signed with.
So a guy I think I predicted the Sox would sign him just more for the story was Jose Quintana. Have you seen what Jose Quintana is doing with the Angels? He reunites with Joe Maddon. He's made two starts. He's pitched a total of five innings, an ERA of 16.20, seven walks, nine strikeouts. He is scheduled to pitch tonight as we're taping this. So he is scheduled to pitch on Wednesday night. We'll see what he does. But ooh, that's not good for the Angels. Having Jose Quintana at the back end of their rotation with an ERA in double digits.
Chuck, you're kidding me. The Angels are struggling to find starting pitching? I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked.
Okay. Look, I wanted the White Sox. I was definitely near the front of the line on Quintana. That one I will take. I know there were plenty of people out there on our mentions that were right there with that thinking. And I know it's only a few starts. Again, maybe not an overreaction to Jose Quintana. Is he a 17 ERA guy? No. But is he done? I mean, like, the trend is saying yes. Like, what the hell happened to Jose Quintana post White Sox?
I got one word for you. Actually, one name for you, two words. Don Cooper. There's your answer. Someone needs to call up Don Cooper. He'll solve it.
Yeah, Don Cooper and Joe Maddon will get along real well, I bet. This is
the only place he was good is with the White Sox and Don Cooper. That's the only answer I have for Jose Quintana.
Joe Maddon never really seemed to want Jose Quintana when he was on the Cubs to throw like more than like three innings in a start. So really, this is kind of on brand for the Joe Maddon Jose Quintana relationship, isn't it?
I'm just surprised he's there. Why would Maddon sign off on this?
I mean, because he looked at the rest of the Angels pitching staff. That's why.
He's like, I got Dylan Bundy and occasionally Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's also Trevor Bauer with the Dodgers. No surprise. He's 2-0 with a 2.42 ERA, 36 strikeouts, 6 walks, 6 innings or more in all 4 of his starts. So we can't say we're shocked with that. We all wanted him on the White Sox. Didn't happen. Want to move on from that?
I guess the silver lining would be Lance Lynn has been excellent for the White Sox.
Well, that was my next name. The White Sox, instead of going after Trevor Bauer, they acquire Lance Lynn. 3 starts, 0.92 ERA. He's got the complete game shutout in the home opener. He's on the IL right now with a strained trapezius. But I want to talk about not just Lance Lynn. We need to talk about who the White Sox traded to get Lance Lynn. And that's Dane Dunning. 3 starts with the Rangers. Dane Dunning has a 0.60 ERA. He's given up 1 run in 15 innings. So there might be a little remorse in the future, but I love having Lance Lynn on the White Sox.
I mean, this is going to be one, like, I think fans are going to keep looking at. And they're not really going to look at Lance Lynn as much as they're probably going to look at Dylan Cease. And, like, I don't know what – I just don't – this is the part that I don't understand. Because you need to give up assets to get a great asset. And Lance Lynn is amongst the top pitchers in the American League, and he has been for the last 2-plus seasons, including his 3 starts with the White Sox. So Lance Lynn is showing you exactly who he is. I don't think he's going to go out there and throw a complete game shutout, but it's clear that he doesn't want to leave the mound when he's on it. He has that throwback mentality that we've talked about. And if the Rangers are going to give up something like that, you are going to have to give up somebody that you invested a lot in, whether it be Dane Dunning, Dylan Cease, et cetera. In this case, it was Dane Dunning. I think Dane Dunning showed capability last year of doing what he's done so far in Texas. Like I think his pitch count's been around 75. They have this like 2-horse system going down there. They have like a guy to back him up just in case. But right now it's Dane Dunning's job, I think, forever. And the best part about the
forever,
Dane, well, at least in the 2021, I mean,
2021 or forever.
Well, for the next years of control, okay. whatever the Rangers want to pretend that they're contending again. But I mean, the best part of the Dane Dunning experience is going to be when he faces the White Sox, you know, like, and that's
on Friday.
Yeah. That's going to be more of a Dane Dunning, you know, he's going to want to prove in that case. Dane Dunning's a good pitcher. Mm-hmm. This is to me like good for good. And like, you should root for Dane Dunning when he makes the starts for the Texas Rangers. I've never understood, like, the White Sox need to win a trade and it has to be one, like, lot, like, you know, when a fan proposes these trades on Twitter, most of the time, it's like, why don't we give up Leury Garcia, Adam Engel, and Jonathan Stever for Mike Trout? Well, I could tell you why, but that would be a waste of my time. And in this case, giving up nothing for Lance Lynn was never going to happen. So root for Dane Dunning when he's not pitching against the White Sox, but root for Lance Lynn and know that the White Sox have an awesome, like, one of the best rotations in the game.
There's nothing to complain about with Lance Lynn. And if Lance Lynn is pitching for the White Sox in the World Series, then you won the trade. Yep. That doesn't mean the Rangers can't also win the trade, but it means right. The White Sox won the trade too. So
Dunning is more of a finished product in the major leagues than Dylan Cease is right now. That's true. The stats bear it out. We'll see what happens on Friday. But then again, it's only one game Friday, and that'll be one to watch. Now I want to move to right field. Now, this early in the season, hitters can get hot and cold for a week, and these stat lines can change in a hurry. So I'm putting an asterisk next to all these stat lines, but as we sit here 3 weeks into the year, interesting, because we talked so much about right field. Let's start with who the White Sox got. They got Adam Eaton. And I don't know what the percentage of White Sox fans who liked him or didn't like him, but there was either you love Adam Eaton or you hate him. Right now, for all the haters, you got to love him. I mean, what's he got? He's slashing 262, 366, 459, 3 homers, 14 RBIs. He's tied with Abreu for 5th in the American League in RBIs. And I'm looking at him versus righties. He's slashing 300, 407, 540. So something tells me that when Engel comes back, automatically there's a lefty on the mound. Eaton won't be playing, and his numbers actually Oh, look at the look I'm getting from you guys. No.
Yeah, I don't think you're right there, Chuck. I think Adam Eaton is the everyday right fielder without a doubt, especially considering how things are going in left field. I think you're going to see Adam Engel in left field on a very regular basis. I think Eaton's sticking in right field. Tony La Russa loves Adam Eaton. I don't think he's coming out of the lineup very much at all.
Well, you don't see too many lefties, and those could be the days you play Leury García in.
No,
right.
No.
Wow.
Please stop.
Stop.
We're done with Leury. Like, Leary's
not going anywhere, Goff. I can tell you that much.
No, he's going to the bench where he should be, actually, on a good team. That's exactly where he should be.
Yeah, but once every 10 days, Leury García plays for Adam Eaton. I'm not benching Leury. I'm not benching
Adam
Eaton.
All right. I won't get pissed off if it's once every 10 days. I've just
seen. I mean,
once every 10 minutes is all I'm sick of seeing Leury García right now. And it's not that's unfair to Leury García in some ways, because I don't think his ideal, this wasn't supposed to be how Leury, this wasn't the ideal scenario, right? I mean, the ideal scenario was Leury García is going to be a good member off your bench. That was a Swiss Army knife, but.
Leury García, when he's good, is good. When he's bad, let's be honest. Yeah, he sucks. When he's bad, he looks really, really bad. But we've seen this before, where he stinks for a month and all of a sudden you're like, you know what? Leury García does some really good things for the White Sox. When he's a bench guy, you don't want him playing every day. Okay, so there we go. There's Adam Eaton. All right, moving on to George Springer. George Springer, if you haven't been paying attention, guess how many games George Springer has played? None. He has yet to play a game with the Blue Jays. I have a feeling he eventually will start to play, but he had a grade 2 oblique strain. He was close to coming back. He was running the bases a couple of weeks ago, and he felt tightness in his quad. So he has yet to play. He's expected to come back soon. But could you imagine the Sox signed George Springer, and here we'd be in the middle of April, near the end of April, and he hadn't played yet? Oof, not a good start.
That'd be a real sky is falling situation for a lot of people. Thankfully, you know, at the Sky Dome in Toronto, they can close the roof so the sky doesn't have to fall. But the Blue Jays are going to be fine. They're going to be very happy with their investment in George Springer, I have a feeling.
Yeah, I'd still want George Springer. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, like, this is where things are at right now with Springer and the Blue Jays.
No, go ahead, Vinny.
I was just going to say, like you said, if you got to this point in the calendar and he had yet to play a game, it would be full on freak out mode. And I'm sure it is for a lot of Blue Jays fans.
Yeah.
And then people bitching about the White Sox depth. Oh, wait. So with Springer, I'm not going to poo poo the Springer. We all know what kind of player he is and what he will be. There's no reason that the Blue Jays shouldn't exercise caution at this point in the season. But the one thing I'll say is, like, Springer plays center field, correct?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what the White Sox needed, a right fielder. And there's all these people that are just assuming, like, well, they could have got him to sign him to play right field. He was very verbal in saying he wanted to play center field. Now, money talks, and I get that. But Luis Robert plays center field for the White Sox. It's not always that easy. Like, well, just put him in right field. These guys, when they're free, look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the White Sox wouldn't like to have George Springer, especially now because they did not foresee Eloy Jimenez. I said this earlier. I'll say it again. Their biggest need wasn't George Springer.
Right. I just wanted him on the team, and I was hoping he would just play right field. I can dream.
Yeah, Goff, stop yelling at Chuck.
I know. Now, there were other people who were saying, we don't want Adam freaking Eaton. Mm. Give me Jock Peterson. That's the answer. Jock Peterson. All right. So Jock Peterson signs with the Cubs. 18 games in spring training. Jock Peterson slashed .378, .431. He slugged 1,000. He had 8 homers. He had 19 RBIs. It was looking like a disastrous scenario for the White Sox.
Bull crap. Come on.
Why would that have been a disastrous scenario for the White Sox? Because they would have played 6 games against them during the season? Is that why?
Just because he could have had a better season than Adam Eaton, and then we'd be hearing it.
No. He still might. But doubtful.
Okay. I'm just putting together a little scenario here. And come playoff time, I want Jock Peterson on my team because that guy freaking mashes in October. But
good point.
through 16 games in the regular season, he's got one home run, four RBIs. He's slashing 137, 262, 235. His OPS plus, you want to be above 100 to be a good, to have a good OPS plus. His OPS plus is 42.
You hate to see it, don't you? This is exactly, you really hate to see it. This is a guy who turned down the White Sox, by the way.
Reportedly.
Reportedly. And went shopping for greener pastures to get less money and play for a team going nowhere. So good on him. He's a platoon player. I hated all the people saying that, oh, the White Sox need Jock Peterson. You know who didn't need Jock Peterson? The LA Dodgers. They liked him in the playoffs. They sat him all the time. He's a platoon. That's who he is. Look at his career slash line. He is a platoon player, and he's proving he's a platoon player. I don't care what anybody did in spring. You know, the only spring training stats that have ever mattered are your mean Mercedes. Other than that, nothing else in spring matters.
Speaking of your mean Mercedes, Jock Peterson has 7 hits. Your mean Mercedes had 8 after his second game of the season.
There's something about those blue pinstripes takes all your offensive ability away. Apparently that they are struggling up on the north side. To get
we're burying Jock Peterson here. I think he's going
to, I didn't think he was a fit here. I didn't.
Yeah.
I think the point that Chuck made was a very good reason why the White Sox could have benefited from having him. And that is, this is a team that has aspirations to go deep in the playoffs, and you want a proven playoff performer on your roster. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but you're right. Given full health, there was no place for him to play on a regular basis. He would have been a bench player.
And honestly, this was about Adam Eaton too. And people only hated Adam Eaton because of the way it ended. The one thing about Adam Eaton when he was a White Sox was he was a good player, very productive player, good on both in the outfield and at the plate. He's not been perfect in the outfield. I think he has 4 errors actually. Most of them have been throwing errors. He had the drop fly ball on Anaheim. There's a couple, but I will say this about Adam Eaton. He has owned it about how he left here. And he was very aware of his perception and how fans turned on him, I guess to say, because of the way he exited. He's grown up. He's phenomenal to deal with. And honestly, he is a perfect fit on this team. When he mixed it up at second base. Was that against the Indians?
Yeah, against the Indians.
For his BS suspension that he's getting. Like, that's why they got him. He's an igniter. He's a spark plug. He's going to take this team. I don't want to say he himself is going to take this team to another level, but he's going to teach these younger guys now of how to get to the postseason. The things that we talked about with Jock Peterson, Adam Eaton's done too. Like, Adam Eaton was really good for the Nationals during their postseason run. Arguably could have won the NLCS MVP. He was in the mix for the World Series MVP before Howie Kendrick went off. So this was to me, it wasn't about Jock Peterson as much as it was about Adam Eaton. Like, that's why I think, like, when you read off his slash line, Chuck, like, that's who Adam Eaton is. He's arguably been their most consistent player from start to finish so far. The first couple weeks.
Except for Yermin. Yermin is he's in the running for the MVP right now. But Eaton, the thing with Eaton, he just needs to stay healthy. Just stay healthy. If he stays healthy, he's going to be great.
And that's you got to remember too, you know, the old commercial, chicks dig the long ball, and we're in the 21st century now, so we got to be inclusive because both chicks and dudes dig the long ball. That's true. The home run sells. Dug the long ball. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. The home run sells. Jock Peterson hit home runs. Adam Eaton is not your stereotypical home run hitter. So when people look at World Series home runs versus World Series, you know, scoring from first base, one is far sexier than the other.
All right, a quick pause here on the White Sox Talk podcast. We're coming back after this.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Let's move on. I got a couple other right fielders here. Jackie Bradley Jr., he signed with the Brewers. He's very good defensively. Offensively so far, not good. Slashing 213, 250, 361. He's got a homer and two RBIs, 22 strikeouts, no walks. How would this be playing right now on the South Side with that stat line?
Is that not Larry Garcia's stat line? I mean, I'm not seriously. Yeah,
I'm going to check out Larry Garcia.
I think Larry might be hitting under 200, but still, you know, that's, I'm just saying, like, it would be playing like that. And as Guff pointed out earlier in the podcast, White Sox fans not pleased with Larry's offensive output at the moment.
Well, yeah, so and his decision making, those two bunts that he's popped up, like, no, that's just, I don't know what is going on with Larry, but not good.
At least Jackie Bradley Jr. is playing for a first place team. That the Brewers are off to a very nice start.
All right, so Larry Garcia is batting 163. He's got 13 strikeouts and a walk. So
the other Larry's not, he shouldn't be playing here. We've already talked about that. I mean, the one thing about Jackie Bradley Jr. that he does bring too is defensively, he's a gold glover. So that's what I'm saying. Like, Jack Peterson, really not good on either. Like, I'm just crushing Jack Peterson because
you really are.
Well, I never wanted him. And I'm glad
he's gonna have a big series against the White Sox.
Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care if he turns it around in the next 145 games, but I'll tell you one thing. I just went back and looked at his stats while you guys were talking about Jackie Bradley Jr. And I'm going, huh? Like, he's had his best season. He had 112 hits. Like, get off my lawn.
No,
like
he's all October. His October numbers are sick, but
fine.
Do you bring him in for that? I don't know. Maybe
you're going to pay him $10 million.
I wouldn't do that. No.
He's not on the Cubs to be an October hero. That's for sure.
No, and here's the thing: Jack Peterson will not get you to October. He will not get you there. But when it is October and you're there, he'll help you win a championship. That's been his career.
But trade deadline acquisition, crosstown deal.
Oh, I don't know, for the White Sox. Yeah, could be.
Maybe like a platoon play. But again, like,
and then if that happens, I want Guff and Jack Peterson in a room together to sort out their differences.
I will happily
only Jack Peterson's walking out of that room.
Well, no, we're both going to go down swinging, but I'll tell you one thing. Like, I'll tell Jack Peterson why he was acquired.
You're a platoon player and we need you for October, Jack. That's all
you're
you
a platoon. Are. You're a platoon player and you're needed. Yeah. To help down the stretch and in the postseason, you know, you're going to be needed to have big at bats. But again, that's my argument for Adam Eaton in the postseason. Like, he homered twice in the World Series. I mean,
Eaton did, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm not, like, people are going to probably, the haters that like to only talk when the White Sox lose games on Twitter will probably come at me and say, like, I'm an Adam Eaton apologist. It's not about being an apologist as much as a fit. And I think he's a great fit for this team and does a lot of the same things that Jack Peterson can do in terms of the postseason success, but I think he's a much better fit and they needed him more than they needed Jack Peterson.
All right. I want to fly through closer. Sox got Liam Hendricks, got off to a rough start, but four straight scoreless appearances. They spent a lot of money on him. Alex Colome with the Twins. They could have, he was maybe plan B if they didn't get Hendricks. 5.68 ERA. He's blown two saves. Twins are 6-10. But I think they're going to figure it out. I want to go over DH because I think it's funny. I wanted Nelson Cruz. But who would have thought that Yermín Mercedes would be better than Nelson Cruz 3 weeks into the season? Does this mean that Yermín Mercedes is a better player than Nelson Cruz?
The biggest the biggest question I have, Chuck, is obviously you've been, you know, driving the Yermín Mercedes bandwagon for some time now.
Yes.
What would your answer have been back in January or whenever we were talking about Nelson Cruz every 5 minutes? If you were posed the question, who do you want? You want Nelson Cruz or you want Yermin Mercedes? Oh, you don't on. Know what they're going to do, but that's the
Nelson Cruz. I mean,
Vinny, let me ask you, I'm going to take that and run with it. Hey, Chuck, who'd you rather have right now going forward?
Ooh, there is a good question. There is a good question.
No, but just for this year, just for the rest of the season, because Nelson Cruz is like 50 years old.
Ooh.
Chuck likes the story. He likes
I mean, how could I, at this point, how can I say, you're mean, thanks, but no thanks. We're good. Bring in Nelson Cruz. I want to see how this story ends with Yermin Mercedes. So no, I do not. I can't believe I'm even saying this.
Like, I can't either.
I can totally believe it. Chuck's been stumping for this guy for 2 years.
Well, I've been stumping for both guys for 2 years.
He's, he's honest. Like, let's not, that story is, the Yermin story is as good as it gets.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I would rather have Nelson Cruz any day of the week, but I mean, Yermin.
It's a good thing. Look, Yermin has helped settle a position of need, right? Like Andrew Vaughn was thought to be that guy. There was zero chance you could bench Yermin Mercedes after that first weekend. And Yermin there are these stories in sports where guys get that opportunity and they just don't relinquish it. And it's created question marks about Andrew Vaughn. And I think are very valid. And you figure that one out because of the success. Like there's two things here. There's who is Andrew Vaughn and what is he, but look what happened because of that. Like what, why did that question happen? Well, it's because you found a guy at least 2 weeks in that has taken a position of need and ran with it. And the best part about Yermin Mercedes for me, other than the success and the popularity and how fun he is and how confident he is when he goes over, he looks like a professional hitter. He's going up there,
he's
giving
a tough over,
just really, really tough out. Most of them are productive outs. He just looks like a guy who knows what he's doing up there. And I don't know how this story is going to end. He could hit 235, but I don't see any time soon where he's going to relinquish that role.
What has been the most interesting, I think, and you touched on it, was during spring training, and this is not necessarily a knock on Andrew Vaughn, but during spring training, what was the constant compliment of Andrew Vaughn? He's a pro. His at-bats look mature. He's an advanced hitter. It's because of the way he takes his at-bats. The guy who's fit that description so far has been Yermin Mercedes. He's changing his approach within an at-bat when the situation changes. He's hitting so well with two strikes. He's doing the kind of things that you would think would have applied to Andrew Vaughn given those descriptions. Andrew Vaughn has not necessarily not fit that description, but he hasn't as consistently as Mercedes has, and that's what's been so impressive about Mercedes.
Yeah, the other thing is the age difference. Something tells me that when Andrew Vaughn's 28, he'll have the approach – And he
might have it already. I'm not trying to knock him. Just saying Mercedes has been that guy.
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
Now we could reach June and Mercedes is in a tailspin and Nelson Cruz is headed to the All-Star game again. I'm thinking, why would I take Mercedes?
but I mean, thus far, what we do know is that the White Sox are lacking a bat, which we kind of knew. And this is where the depth question comes into play. And Stoney said it on the radio the other day. You know, there are no teams in baseball, none, zero, that are equipped to handle injuries when they're to the biggest part of your core. And when a guy with 40 homers goes down and your injuries have been to TA and they've been to Lance Lynn, you know, it's tough to overcome. Like no one has depth to back all of those guys up again and again and again. The White Sox have guys and they're trying to figure that out on the fly. But I do, at least at this point, as we hit late April, clearly see a need for an upgrade of a bat when it does come time to make that need.
All right, our last position, catcher. So the White Sox have Yasmani Grandal wrapped up for two and a half more years. James McCann goes to the Mets. McCann slashing 235, 297, 324, a homer and three RBIs. Grandal's batting 150. Got 9 walks, 8 strikeouts, 2. You know what? I'll give him this. He's got 2 homers and 9 RBIs, and he's not hitting very well. And he's got, I think, 3,000 catcher interference calls against him. Maybe it's 4.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think anybody thought during the offseason they were going to go out and get a catcher that would eat into Yasmani Grandal's playing time. I mean, I think everybody assumed he was going to be the number one guy. We were talking about a backup to play every so often. And Zach Collins has done all right. The guy's caught a no-hitter. You can't really complain about that.
No, I'm not saying the Sox should have re-signed McCann. It's just more of like, we talked about McCann. Where is he going to go? And that decision to allow him to leave was because they signed Yasmani Grandal. Yeah. And, you know, it's the thing with Grandal, like, it's been rough for him behind the plate. I'm wondering if his knee has something to do with it. I don't know. But it's easy to say all the things that you don't like about Yasmani Grandal. But what I do like is he's not hitting. And when he's not hitting, he still gives you a home run and not two home runs, nine RBIs, and a pretty good OBP when he's not hitting.
I think everyone should that's frustrated about Yasmani Grandal, you know, like he's kind of earned it. And a part of that is you earn it when you sign the richest contract in franchise history, that there's going to be expectations on you, maybe that other players don't have. And, you know, this is not about not signing McCann as much as that the decision the White Sox made a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, to make the decision to go get Grandal. That was the decision right there on James McCann. It was not they needed a catcher going forward to get into this phase of the window to win. And they clearly made a decision saying they didn't think James McCann could be the guy for that immediate future. And they didn't know about Zach Collins like they know about Zach Collins now. You could sit here and play hindsight 20, like, right? We can go back and go, well, what if they would have signed McCann to the 4-year deal and not even probably for less than $40 million? And you had Zach Collins. Where does the rest of that $45 to $50 million go? We could sit here and do that. It's not worth it because you can't play the game like that. But Yasmani Grandal has been a frustrating watch. He's really frustrating. And the reason you got him is because you – told, and even if you look by WAR, I think he's since 2019 is ranked second among catchers in WAR. He's just not living up to the bill at the plate, and more importantly, behind it. And do you expect there to be, you know, is he on pace to have like 18 catchers interference? Yeah, if that happens, we got issues.
Yeah, I think I don't know this for a fact, but if you're trying to figure out why the White Sox went out or signed Grandal and they didn't sign McCann, it was more of like the track record. What had Grandal done for many seasons versus McCann, who came out of nowhere and did what he did. And they're at the point of, okay, well, next year we're ready to win. What's the better decision, or what's the safest play? What's the right, who can we depend on more considering their track record? And at the time it was Grandal, but now we can look at, what has McCann done for the last 2.5 seasons? Oh, he's been really, really good. And that was the start of something new. So I don't remember too many people saying when they signed Grandal to that deal, give all that money to McCann. I'm sure there are some people who felt that way, but there weren't many. And I wasn't one of them. I was like, yeah, Grandal, the guy.
Yasmani Grandal was one of the best catchers in baseball when they signed him to that deal. One of the guys you can count on one hand as being one of the best catchers in baseball. He didn't do so hot last year by his standards, but he still contributed an awful lot, as you've pointed out a lot, Chuck, with what he's done in the first few weeks of this season. I mean, he was hitting clutch home runs last year. He was getting on base. He was a Gold Glove finalist behind the plate. There's a lot this guy brings, and Guff, you're not wrong in saying he's been frustrating. Certainly he has been, and I would imagine nobody's more frustrated than him. But the thing is that track record. And I don't think you can say, well, the rest of this deal is just a wash. It's just throw it out the window. It's going to be a huge disappointment because of everything he's done so far in his career. This is an all-star catcher. James McCann, when they signed Yasmani Grandal, had 3 good months in the major leagues, because the second half of that season that he made the all-star team, he was not very good. So he had 3 good seasons or 3 good months in the major leagues. Grandal had a career, and that's why you give him that contract.
I will say this about Grandal too. They signed him for 4 years, right?
Yeah.
He played 58 games with the White Sox. Now, they've been 58 pretty frustrating games, but he's played 58 games. We're not even evaluating one season here. You know, we're evaluating a pandemic short and weird season that they stopped, started over again. And there, we've evaluated 15 games into, 15, 18 games into a
the second season. So that still has pandemic and protocol issues. So I'm willing to say, let me wait and evaluate the contract as a whole before I start crapping all over what they did a year and a half ago to kind of show free. Look, when they signed Grandal, it was a wake-up call to other free agents. Ask Dallas Keuchel about it. He talked about it. He talked about one of the reasons he signed here is because the White Sox went out and got Grandal. So, you know, I'm not going to poo-poo the deal right now. I'm not going to do that.
Also, why did they sign Yasmani Grandal? To win the World Series, right?
Right.
They've played three playoff games since signing him, and he's hit home runs in two of them. Just saying.
He's Jock Peterson.
Oh, no. Here we go. Here we go.
Yeah. All right. So here we are. So we're just a few weeks into the season. I just felt like we talked endlessly about these guys. And I, you know, it's the Sox. I just felt like, let's just see how these guys are doing, not knowing if this is going to be a podcast or not. And then I looked at the numbers. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is a podcast. And by the way, I'm just going to throw one other stat line at you. Francisco Lindor with the Mets. Hello. They're freaking out. He's batting 171 and he's slugging 195.
They're freaking out because they went out and threw $342 million at him. So that's why they're freaking out.
All right. Could you imagine, like, this was not going to happen, but the White Sox acquire Francisco Lindor from the Indians. And after 3 weeks, he's batting 171 and slugging 195. Woo.
And you know what? You say they're freaking out and the Mets are in first place. Like,
things
you know that won't happen. Oh, Lindor is going to have a stat line like that. Like calm. Again, is this an overreaction podcast? Yes. We admitted that from the start. Are there things to react to? Yes. Are there trends we don't want to see? Certainly. Are there things we like? Yeah. Francisco Lindor, what'd you say a slugging was, Chuck? 170?
195.
Yeah. Like, I will bet anything I have that will not.
Right. So let's, what is the one thing that we were reacting to that you are sure will not be an overreaction in the end?
Will not be an overreaction.
Like, we've reacted to something and it's like, cause like the overreaction.
Of all the things we talked about, I want to say Carlos Rodon. I really do. And not Carlos Rodon, like sub one ERA, but I need to see Carlos Rodon take the ball every fifth day. I can't make a judgment call on him just yet. It looks good. I'm going to say Adam Eaton. Like, Adam Eaton is going to be my non-overreaction. I think it was the right signing at the right time, knowing that they weren't going to get Springer. I will go on a limb here and say that Adam Eaton's slash line is going to look probably even better than it does right now.
All right. Vinny, what do you got?
I would lean Eaton also, and I would say the one point that we haven't talked about so far with him is, what does Adam Eaton need to be in this lineup? He doesn't need to be the best player in the lineup. Now, he's been very good, and he's kind of earned the right to bat second every day for the foreseeable future. And maybe he does, and maybe that's the successful way to go. But I think even when they got him, we were talking about all he needs to do is bat eighth and be productive, and that's fine. And so I don't think Adam Eaton is going to, co-lead the team in RBIs or anything like that. But I think he is going to continue to be a guy that fills the hole that they needed to fill this offseason.
I haven't mentioned Michael Brantley. He's being Michael Brantley. He's batting 327, 365, 592. I will say that the two names on this list who I think will end up being who they are right now, it's not an overreaction, is Kluber and Quintana. I don't think either of those guys are going to have good seasons. That's after judging by what I'm seeing so far. Clearly, before the season, I was singing their praises and I wanted them on the White Sox. But now looking at, when you're a pitcher and you come out of the gate doing that and you're a number five starter, you don't normally all of a sudden find the light and become great. So those are my two. And we will check in at some point and see how we've done. And that's a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage. It's www.wintrust.com/socks. Hawk Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, Art Chuck.
And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.